Afternoon, everybody. Afternoon, Wisconsin. Welcome to WFHR's Playmakers. Hope y'all are having a great Monday afternoon out there. Welcome to the show. James behind the mic. I'm joined by Randy Paul.
Good afternoon, everyone.
We're here to have some fun and take your calls. Phone lines are wide open. We're wide open. Hit us in the number 715-424-2600. We're looking forward to talking with you. We got a bunch to get to today, Randy. We're going to talk about some of the big free agency signings in baseball, get into some of that, and how some of that might be a positive for Milwaukee as far as the Adames deal. We will also get into the college football playoff selections. We will, of course, as a sports talk show, we will have a complete disagreement, you and I, and we will, of course, disagree with everything they decide. I don't know, but we'll find that out. We got River Kings to talk as well. I want to talk a little bit about some of the transfer portal going on with college football as well. And, of course, we've got local stuff to get to. Randy's got some local high school coverage for us as well. But before we get too far into things, Randy, I do want to do something I don't do very often. I want to give the NFL credit. I'm not always able to catch Monday and Thursday games. It's the week. We've got a lot going on here, a lot of spinning plates in the jobs that I do and everything. But they found a way to make it so that even a Dallas and Cincinnati game I care about, I will be watching as much as I possibly can, Randy, because it features the Simpsons. And well right. Done, NFL. Well done. That key demographic of the above 35 age of this, people who still watch the Simpsons and care. You got me. I believe it's just me. I think it's just me, but you did land me. Nice job. Well done. Kudos, NFL. If anybody does care, the Monday Night Football game is going to have an alternative broadcast with the Simpsons being featured. Bart and Homer will be the stars of the game, along with Joe Burrow, of course, and Jamar Chase and some of these other guys. But the alternative broadcast is going to be on ESPN Plus, Disney Plus, and available on the NFL mobile app. It looks like that Bart will be representing the Bengals and Homer will be representing the Cowboys. And is there a better mascot for the Dallas Cowboys than Homer Simpson, who I love to death and is one of my all-time favorite characters in anything? But anybody that tells you that Homer has a good idea, just go the other way. Go, because that man has made 30 seasons out of making bad ideas.
Probably why they put him with the Cowboys.
It really feels like it fits. It really feels like it does. But that's going on. But we should really start with baseball. And some of the big free agency signings over the last couple of days. I don't think a lot of us had Willie Adames signing before Juan Soto. I thought that was quite interesting. And I want to get into the Adames signing, what that means for Milwaukee, how I think it's a positive, and I'm not alone on that. We'll get into that in a moment. But we'd be remiss if we didn't start a sports show with a guy signing a $750 million deal for 15 years. Regardless of the sport, regardless of if the guy's a household name, regardless of where we're doing the sports show, you kind of have a responsibility to start there. Wow. That's a lot of money, Randy. Just real quickly, with the Willie Adames and the Juan Soto deals, both gigantic deals, I got to say as a quick note, Adames got his money and a lot more than I expected him to get. As it is, Randy, if you don't mind me putting you on the spot for a second, you just gave me some stats that I thought were interesting about their at-bats and pay.
Well, just taking the $182 million contract for Willie, 7 years. So if you divide that up, that's $26 million a year. We're going roughly here. Last year, he had 688 at-bats. So if you divide that $26 million by 688, if that's what he would get again this year, he's getting, a little over $38,000 per at-bat, which is incredible. But let's go with Juan Soto.
Yeah.
$765 million a year, 15 years. Again, divide that up, it's $51 million a year. He had 576 at-bats last year, so therefore, if you do the division on that, $88,500 per at-bat. So strike out and you make more money than you, I, and about three of our friends.
Yeah, just incredible, incredible money, and all guaranteed, all there. It doesn't matter if he breaks his leg, and after he gets his physical, of course, breaks his leg, never plays a game again, he's collecting all that money. It's insane. It's also insane when you compare this to what Patrick Mahomes or LeBron James is making. They're just nuts, and it's I have to say, and this isn't new for me. This is Ryan Sandberg signing with the Cubs. This is signing his re-contract with the Cubs and everything, and people looking at that contract, including my papa, and saying, well, this is insane. These guys, none of these guys could ever be worth this amount of money. No human being could be worth this amount of money. And because of that, it's always going to keep me from truly loving baseball as much as I could. I am not a child. I understand that all of these men are making way more than they should, no matter what the sport, insert name, basketball, football, hockey, lacrosse, I don't care, whatever we're talking about. It's a kid's game that they're getting paid a lot of money for. That being said, baseball is insane. It's just insane with what the numbers that we're seeing and the things that we're talking about. And it'd be insane if it was one deal. This is, what, three seasons, four seasons of this, where going back to Bryce Harper signing a $300 million deal and all of us losing our minds over that, or even going farther back to Ichiro and deal that he signed at the late age he did, and how there were people in baseball that thought that would end baseball. Baseball was going to stop from that point because there's no way a team could make that money and blah, blah, blah. That here we are with this. So I just got to get that off my chest. It does bother me. I do think baseball will be better suited with the salary cap. I do think the all sports are better for it. I think that there's something to be said for in the NFL, the what you have to do to be able to win with that over your head. And all that. I think basketball is ridiculous with their salary cap because it doesn't almost matter. And I think hockey is too strict on their salary cap to where you can't really build as a franchise, I think. And that's why you see a team like Tampa Bay, you know, kind of do these kind of shady things with their players and everything and put them on injured reserve. And then, oh, it doesn't count on the cap until the playoffs. And then all of a sudden they're out there and you're seeing a guy who was a 50-goal scorer just showing up in the playoffs. And Tampa Bay wins three Stanley Cups. None of these sports got it perfect, but if you do a Goldilocks on this and you take a little bit of each, I think you can find the right way to do this. And baseball actually is in a perfect spot too, where there is no precedent for it. So you can make your own rules. You can start your own thing here with a salary cap. But I don't think that's ever going to happen. So moving on, we were talking in our pregame about the Soto thing and the options of the places he could sign. And there's some competitive markets that it could have went to, and you know, you guarantee you're in the running. You know, the Los Angeles, the New Yorks, on the other side of New York, we're talking Brooklyn and everything. Bronx, New Yorks. I think that there was something really clear here with Soto. I think one, that he wanted to stay somewhere. This is a young man who's had to move around a lot and wanted to go somewhere, and that's where I'm going to be. And was already somewhere for the past year, but didn't really like the Bronx. Didn't really like the I don't know if it's a pressure, because he certainly seems like he can handle pressure. It seemed like the New York vibe, the New York Yankee way, was not his thing. And wanted to go somewhere where he could stay for the next 15 years, 10 years or something. So I don't know if it was about competitiveness. Certainly money plays a factor, all those things. But I don't know necessarily for him, but I do feel very confident about what Steve Cohen and the New York Mets are trying to do. And they're going to tell everybody that they're trying to win the World Series. And that's cool, and maybe they are. But I believe that the main thing they are trying to do is win New York. And they did it. They won New York today. For today, they won New York. And that's when you're talking about New Yorkers, when you're talking about people that live in the city, in the state of New York, that's the biggest thing in the world. And so when you're in that bubble, that's all you care about. And you'll spend $750 million to win that city, even for a day. Even if people tomorrow are laughing at you. Heck, even if they're laughing at you today, they're talking about you and not the Yankees. You stole a player from the New York Yankees. The New York Mets stole a player from the New York Yankees. That alone that may be worth more to Steve Cohen than a World Series, which is bonkers to me, but this is the game that's being played.
And I think what I already heard is that the Mets are a more highly favored to win the World Series than the Yankees already are.
Yeah.
And then they also said, well, the one positive that comes out of it, if you can say that, you know, you don't have to pay Juan Soto, but they have more money freed up for maybe a Corbin Burns, who's going to be a free agent here with Baltimore, and they named some other guys as well. And then you look at Willy Adames. You and I were talking a little bit off air, too, is you wonder if that's advantageous for Adames from the fact that he's not with the Dodgers, he's not with the Yankees, it's with San Francisco, right? Mm-hmm. So is there going to be a little bit less pressure being with them? You know, he had 251 last year. I remember my uncle and I were at a Brewers game, this goes back a number of years, and some guy sitting down there yelled at one of the players and says, you know what they call a 240 hitter in our day? A minor leaguer. Now if you're hitting 251, you just made an incredible amount of money.
I remember when I think it was Arizona and Tampa Bay came into the league, or Florida and Tampa Bay or something like that, Florida and Arizona, something like that, some combination of it. They came into the league, and my dad and I sitting there, and my dad showing me baseball cards of guys who were batting 250, and that was their last year in the league. Mm-hmm. You know, in the idea of this happening, and like there wasn't enough players back then to fill all these ball clubs that were batting over 250, let alone now, and certainly where we are now with the home run and all that. And to New York Yankee fans, the other thing that they're losing their minds about is it sounds like that their backup for not getting Soto was Anthony Santander from Baltimore. I know I'm mispronouncing that last name. I apologize to him and his family, because he's a great player, but a far, far big drop from that. And there's no name unless you make a trade, and even then, you're not going to find a name that's going to satisfy the Bronx fan. You're not going to be able to do it. So you're already going into the next season, if you are a Yankee fan, with World Series or bust, which is every season for the Yankees, but a lot different when you're coming off of a World Series loss. And you just lost the star, one of the stars of the league, if not the second, third biggest star of the league. I want to move on, if you don't mind, Randy, to Willy Adames. And, you know, enjoyed Willy Adames, his play, his time here in Wisconsin. Fun player to watch.
Energy, right?
Great energy. Yeah. Seemed like a great clubhouse guy and everything. I would like to get in the time machine for a second and go back 2 years with Willy Adames and where we were with him in his career, and him being a year out from free agency and wondering, well, do you want to give this guy Christian Yelich money? Because I don't hear anybody talking about that. I hear a lot of people crying about them not re-signing Willy Adames. And for one, if that was the contract on the table and they had signed him, I would hope people would lose their minds over that. Because I like Willy Adames. I respect him as a human being and as a player. He is not worth that. There is just no way you can convince me. You could show me all the stats you want. I will show you two season stats ago about Willy Adames. Not in the contract year. I will show you plenty about Willy Adames that, to me, does not make him worth that money. And I will make the argument as well that you can better spend that money on 2 to 3 players than just one guy, especially in today's baseball, and especially when you're in the Milwaukee Brewers. And you've already got an albatross. They've got an albatross contract they've been trying to get out from under for 3-4 years. You want another one? Because that's almost what you're guaranteed with these deals.
I think I read that they're still paying Ryan Braun.
Yeah,
for a couple of years yet they owe him money, kind of like Bobby Bonilla, right?
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever had this happen before where I've gotten cross with Brewer fans, but even my own brother I got a little bit cross with, where they're getting bent out of shape about them not signing Willy Adames. Are you kidding me? That you've already got two deals that you're paying on, and you've got a kid in Jackson Churio that you just signed to an extension and everything. You've got the youth there, Joey Ortiz. You've got guys. Really, in comparison to some of these players, Willy Adames is an old vet. You've got young guys waiting in the pipeline to bring up.
Yeah, he's 29 years old, right? And boy, you talk about the right time to have a year, right? It was in his contract year. So, I mean, good for him from that standpoint. But will he sustain it? Because like you said, go back over the stats the last couple of years. And again, for a shortstop, hitting 250, you know, that always has been okay with everybody. But he did have 32 home runs. So from that standpoint, and he knocked in over 100 RBIs. Over 100 hits. Can he sustain that? Well, it'll be interesting to see with, you know, again, not the pressure of the Dodgers or the Yankees. However, still out in California, still with the San Francisco, and there's gonna be pressure to live up to that contract, too.
I don't think out of all the California teams, and I'm not counting Oakland. I'm joking. They wouldn't have counted anyway. But out of all the California teams, and by that I mean San Diego, the Dodgers, and San Francisco, no team is under more pressure than the San Francisco Giants, only because it's two seasons now spending this kind of money, and where are the results? And you add on to the fact that this team has won recently. you know, and won a lot recently. So you've got that young fan base that is used to winning. There's a lot more pressure, I think, on the Giants and even the Dodgers or the Padres. Padres get a bit of a break somehow.
Right.
I don't know how, but they somehow get a break from a lot of the pressure. Not to say they're not, that there is not pressure on that team in that front office, but it feels like there's not nearly, oh, they're just the Padres.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't feel like we take them that seriously as it is or anything. Another bright side for the Adames deal is that the Brewers will get draft compensation. With Milwaukee offering a qualifying offer to Adames, because he landed a deal above $50 million of that, the Brewers will get a pick after the first round, according to Adam McCavley. And a shout out to him and MLB reporting. So I thought that was, you know, another, it's a draft pick. It's a player that you have no idea who is going to be, whether let alone if they're going to be any good. But when you're talking about losing somebody in free agency that you could have traded and gotten something for, I think that you take what you can get. And again, I think you should also take a positive in here. Your team was smart enough not to make this deal. I will stand on this. Willie Adames hits 40, goes 40 for 40 next year. You go ahead and throw this in my face. But let him do it 3 years in a row, 4 years in a row, or something like that. Because that's what you need to get a return on your investment with this. You need to win a World Series to get a return on investment on spending that kind of money on Willie Adames. And I'm sorry, that is not a shot at him, but we're not talking about one of the top 20, 30 players in Major League Baseball. That's the kind of money this kid got. And good on him. More power to him. There's almost no way he can back that up.
So do you think it takes a little of the pressure off of management and or the ownership and puts more on to the players, because the owners can sit back and say, look, we tried. The last couple of years we've signed these people. We've spent big bucks. You know, they didn't come through. You know, that's on them, right? It's the shows we're trying, at least.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like as much as the GMs and so much that they're in control of these teams so much more and everything, I don't think there's any other sport than maybe tennis or golf, but tennis more than any other sport, I think, maybe, than in baseball, where the pressure gets to these athletes. I will point to Albert Pujols. I will. I got about 15 examples of this that I was just doing the research on this, knowing this Soto deal was coming. Like, how do these guys play out after these big deals? And Bryce Harper kind of turned it around a bit. Albert turned it around, but it didn't do it until he got to St. Louis. It's almost impossible, the odds of them backing up these deals, whether it is a Soto deal or the Adames deal. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't ever sign these guys. I would have signed that Christian Yelich deal right away. Easily. I wouldn't have thought twice about it. The kind of player he was, the clubhouse player he was, let alone what he was doing on the plate. Nobody can see that deal coming and going south like it did. But at the same time, look at where it's gone now and where he has turned things around and what he means to that clubhouse and to that franchise. You can find arguments for that kind of money. I just don't know that you can ever look your fan base in the eye and say, this was worth it. Because not only do you have to be in the black, but you got to win.
And I think it'll probably take us a few years looking back and saying, yep, that was really a good idea, or, boy, that failed miserably. So sometimes, you know, just got to let it play out a little bit and then see how it turns out.
Randy and James hanging out with you. We are wide open, so hit us in the numbers, everybody, 715-424-2600, 424-2600. Keep on listening after our next break coming up. We'll come back, talk a little local sports, talk River Kings, and plenty more. But before we go to break, Randy, I do want to talk a little bit about the college football selections. Those were made over the weekend and upset everybody. Everybody except for the teams that got it.
Yeah.
And even some of they were upset. So everybody's upset. So that means that the committee kind of did it right,
well,
doesn't it? It does feel like it.
I'll tell you, I was watching the couple of games that were going on at the same time, Oregon, Penn State, and then SMU and Creighton. And I just saw that SMU scored with about 19 seconds left, so I switched back to the other game. I thought, well, that one's going to overtime. And then I come back, and they go, well, if they complete a pass here, Clemson will be in field goal range. I'm like, what?
Yeah,
I missed the return, and the guy returns it to the 40-yard line. They complete one pass, 56-yard field goal later, and all of a sudden Clemson wins. And you're like, oh, so right away, you know, they're talking the post game. Is this going to have SMU get knocked out, right? And they're just like, this would be just a travesty if they did. And I agree, because you got Alabama sitting at home with three losses, and SMU plays a game, and Alabama doesn't have to.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So they would have had to redo everything if all of a sudden these guys that lose this conference championship game now don't get in the playoffs because they played that one extra game.
Yeah.
So I was, from that standpoint, I was really happy to see SMU get in. But how about this argument, right? I mean, some of those teams, they got 2-3 losses, they get into the playoffs, right? But there was one team that had one bad loss, and that was it. They had one loss all year. Army.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's kind of like Florida State. How do you tell them you're not in? You know,
yeah.
And I'm sure they looked at strength of schedule and all those different things that they'd look at. But still, they only lost one game. It was to Notre Dame.
Yeah, yeah,
right. So,
A team that should have gotten much better rankings than I think most should. This has also been an example to me of how ridiculous. One of the most ridiculous things in all of sports is the top 25 ratings before these guys have even played a game. The ridiculousness of that.
They got to wait till at least week four.
For the love of all that is, please do.
Just think of Kansas in basketball. They just lost two in a row.
Right, right.
Now they went from 1-10.
And real quick, before we come, we'll come back and go into the schedule here of the playoff and some of these interesting bowl games. I think there's actually a couple of interesting bowl games for teams outside of the playoffs, too. Some of those teams that were on the fence about getting in. But the big argument today, or one of the big arguments today outside of teams that should be in and all that, is, well, strength of schedule and, well, you know what? These teams, they're not going to make a hard off-season schedule or whatever, mm-hmm. any of that. For one, I think that we need better scheduling. Not so much better team, who you play. Or, I mean, the quality of the team you play, but the who you play. I think ACC should play the SEC more, and vice versa. Big Ten and SEC should play each other more. See, need more of that. And you definitely, if you're going to have these conferences with 20 teams, maybe you don't even have any outside of the conference games. Which I would dislike very much because I love, just like most college football fans, when this team plays this team and they haven't played in 20 years or whatever.
Northern Illinois beats Notre Dame, right?
I love that stuff. I eat it up. I'm going to be living off of the NIU victory over Notre Dame probably the rest of my life, Randy. I will bring it up every college football season. I love that stuff. But if you really want to get into quote-unquote strength of schedule and all this stuff, well, let's make it real. Let's make these teams play each other. And actually, then there is no argument for that. And to the argument of, well, we're just going to play cupcakes or something like that, I would say the opposite. It is so confusing to listen to some of the SEC fans where they're complaining about, well, look at Alabama played Oklahoma and they shouldn't have done that. They had to. Oklahoma's in the SEC now. You just forgot that? Like, I know it's hard to keep up with it and everything, but I'm not even an SEC guy and I know that.
And did they forget they played Mercer on November 16th?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mercer?
Now, if they hadn't played Mercer, say Alabama had played another SEC team or an ACC team, Clemson or something like that. Well, then maybe even with three losses and a win against Clemson, maybe they get in. I think that's one of the more silly arguments I've ever heard of, oh, we should play, we got to look at our schedule a little differently. You schedule these games 3 to 4 years in advance. You have no idea who is going to be good. Wisconsin and Alabama thought both those teams were going to be really good, and you just don't know. When they set up their series and everything. That is one of the sillier arguments. If I'm an AD at a college, and I mean by that a GM at a college, I am scheduling the toughest schedule I can every single season. Every season. Be so good that they can't ignore you. Be that good. I think that while it didn't work out for them, Boise State tried this for years in the Mountain West, where they did schedule tough out of conference opponents, and it didn't help them any, and I still commend them for it. And I'm so, it's part of the reason I'm rooting for them in this college football playoff. And I'm so happy, and I think that, I wish I heard somebody else talking about this. The justice in Boise State has a bye in the first ever 12-team college football playoff. Boise State has a bye. If you're a longtime college football fan and you've been fighting for teams like this, that's pretty cool.
And so does Arizona State.
Yes.
And
yes.
Arizona State, it's 15 or 16 teams in their conference. They were predicted last.
Yeah.
And they lost like their first couple games, and now they got a bye.
It's so disappointing that what gets ratings nowadays is all the bickering and arguing, when I feel like we should be spending more of our time talking about these teams, talking about this exciting thing that we have here, where we're going to have Indiana and Notre Dame, the Battle of Indiana.
Right.
You know, I mean, we're going to have matchups like that and everything. Let's focus on that. I mean, for the schools that didn't make it in, I get why they're complaining. They have not only a PR job to do, but they also have just genuine feelings about it. But to the rest of us, the rest of the country, you know, let's enjoy this. Let's enjoy. We got a 12-team playoff. This is pretty cool. I don't know when these games are going to. I don't think we're going to be crowning a champion until, I believe, July. I think I saw July. But still, we got a football playoff. Randy and I will take a quick timeout. We'll come back. We'll talk some high school sports. Get back into the college football schedule here a little bit. And, of course, I want to talk some River Kings with you, Randy. And we got River Kings tickets to give away, everybody. Call up 715-424-2600 and let me know one of your favorite hockey players. Give me one of your favorite hockey players, preferably a River Kings player, but I'll take any player. I don't care. Even if they're not playing anymore. You want to give me Gordie Howe? There you go. I just gave you one. Go ahead and call up. Join the conversation, 715-424-2600, and win yourself some River Kings tickets here at Playmakers, which is proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out right here in Rapids. Welcome back, everybody, to WFHR's Playmakers. Randy and James hanging out with you. Phone lines are wide open. Hit us up. Hit us 424-2600. Call up and join the conversation. Big thank you to Quality Plus Printing, sponsoring the hour, so we can hang out with you guys and catch you up on some sports and catch you up on some local sports. Randy's got that for us. What do you got, Randy?
Well, let's start with the boys in high school hoops from this last week. Rapids traveled over to Holman, and they lost 73-48. They're back on the road at Mosinee tomorrow night. The Assumption boys were also at Phillips, but came up short 68-51. Owen Hagen led the Royals with 16, while J.T. Schlafer tallied 13. Assumption's off until Friday, when they will host Shawamigan. Back on Thursday, Port Edwards picked up a W at Wild Rose, 73-49. Josh Tranel led the scoring parade with 27 points, while Brendan Beck and Max Michaels added 21 and 14 points, respectively. The Blackhawks will host 0-3 Rosholt tonight. And Nakusa, they had an easy time on Friday night at home, knocking off Nisida 61-19. Papermakers are on the road tomorrow as they travel over to Amherst. With girls' high school action, Wisconsin Rapids hosting Mosinee last Thursday. They fell 47-32. Tomorrow night, the Raiders will be at Marshfield, one of the top teams in the state, by the way. On Friday, the Assumption Royals made the trek up to Phillips and leveled the Loggers 80-40. Jordan Jaglinski led the way with 23 points, and Anna Schooley added 19. Tomorrow evening is a clash of unbeatens as Auburndale comes to town. Don Chesborough and I will have it for you on our sister station, FM 105.5 WIRI, and it should be a dandy. We'll talk a little bit more about that one in just a minute here. Port Edwards had a couple of games this past week as they lost to Pacelli on Tuesday, 72-32. Taylan McDonald scored 14 points for the Blackhawks, while Naomi Gruba knocked in 10. And then on Friday, in a home contest, Port came up short 59-20 to Wild Rose. Gruba led the way with 11 points for the Hawks, who will host Almond Bancroft tomorrow. And Nakusa fell at home on Thursday to New Lisbon 60-30. Tomorrow, the Lady Papermakers travel down to Portage. And, you know, we were talking a little bit off air again about this game coming up tomorrow night. Both these teams kind of been cruising through their schedule thus far. As a matter of fact, Assumption's closest game was a 26-point victory over Pittsville.
I remember that one. It was a real nail-biter.
Yeah. Auburndale actually did have one close game with Almond Bancroft. That one was a 5-point contest. Otherwise, they've got two Ws by 50 points and one by 54. So they're young, too. They got a lot of sophomores on that squad. They're big. They're long. Watched a little video of them so far, and they got a new coach this year. Josh Nagel is going to be coaching them. So, interesting. I'm looking forward to talking to him and finding out some of the scoop on that. But he's pretty excited about his squad from what I've seen and read. So, I'm looking forward to a big night over at Assumption High School tomorrow night.
Yeah, and tomorrow night is a ball night here at our stations. Here at WFHR at 7 o'clock, we have Wisconsin men's basketball taking on Illinois. That's always a great matchup in Big Ten basketball. And then on our sister station, 105.5 WIRI, 7:05, our pregame kicks off, as Randy was telling us, is Assumption. Assumption hosting Auburndale. Randy, Don going to run that one. First off, a shout-out to Don being back in. A little old school there, and Don doing this together. I love that. To me, Randy, very early in the high school basketball seasons for men's and women's. But one thing that stands out to me about the teams that are, performing well right now, and especially taking a look at Assumption, we're used to, as long as we've been watching high school sports, we're used to every once in a while a once in a generational player or a player that just stands out above the rest or some of that. But there's something that's happening with the Assumption team coming into the season that just stands out to me more than other seasons, and that's depth. They've got depth and experience on this team that you don't see very often. I feel like you almost see that once in a 10-year player more than you see a team that just walks in and they got depth. They've got players that have experience and health. And that's just it really stands out to me about this team. I was telling Randy beforehand, I'm already like glued to this team, and I'm even the box scores I'm getting excited about.
Yeah, you look at the returning players, and of course we've talked about this before with Kendall going down last year with injury. Sarah Shaw also was injured for a time last year. Riley Stublaski was injured as well, so it comes down to staying healthy. That's one thing. But if this team can stay healthy, there's a real possibility they could be playing for that gold ball again in Green Bay, when March rolls around. So that would be exciting as well. And couple of transfers that came in as well, so I'm looking forward to seeing how they stack up. And I know in that last victory that they had last week, they had 10 different players in the scoring column, so right there that just leads to the comment on how deep they are.
It's going to be a really fun season, and we're just getting going. That game 7:05 tomorrow on 105.5 WIRI. Assumption hosting Auburndale. Randy and Don on the call. Sticking local here, let's talk about our boys of Winter and some River Kings hockey. And it actually brings up my stat of the show. The River Kings on last Friday, December 6th, took on the Minnesota Blue Ox, 6-3, as most of our locals here will know. My stat of the show is a shots on goal, and that is 49. For your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings.
Compared to 29 for the Ox.
Yeah. And as I mentioned, you see the Kings get into that 30-shot a goal game range, and you like your chances.
And I think you talked about that with Coach last week when we were in here, just the way that they pepper the net. And that's one of the things that he said they had to do. They had it because they're young in the backside, and so they have to just get those shots on goal, and they accomplished that on Friday.
One thing I wanted to mention, too, if you're interested in these things and you're really locked in on hockey, this also transfers to the NHL, and seeing this in the NHL, you're going to see this with a lot of your great NHL teams that pepper the net, but means a little bit more in the USPHL with the defenses and goalies that you're working with. But the 6-3 victory on Friday against the Minnesota Blue Ox, 19 shots on goal to 5 in the first period.
And still trailed 1-0.
Yeah. That's right? Interesting. Yeah, that's an interesting note on that. Game 2, Saturday, taking on the Blue Ox. A 3-0 shutout for your Kings. 18 shots on goal in the first period. In both games, by far and away, their most shots on goal in the game. So they don't just pepper the net. It's coming out right away and just being aggressive. And the idea of being aggressive, especially to people that don't, the hockey don't eat, sleep, and breathe it or anything. When you're aggressive in hockey, you're not just being aggressive. More times than not, you're putting a lot of pressure on your defenders and your goalie. Because all your wings, your center, everybody's on the other side. And if that puck gets gone, it's really tough for your wings to catch up to that or anything. With the way the Kings play, they are playing to where they're never too far away from the puck. They're peppering the net, and they're not putting too much pressure on their defense because they're hitting the net, and they're getting in there for rebounds, and they're making sure the puck stays where in there. Maybe they don't get a goal every time on those 19 shots, but the puck stays on that side of the ice. And so your defenders, your goalie, they don't have a break, but they have a little bit more time if the puck does get down there. It's such a smart style of hockey, and it's exciting to watch as well.
It's funny you bring that up, because I think back back to the times I've been fortunate enough to broadcast some Raider hockey, it's you'll find that, right? You find that there's major swings in a game, you know, and if a team is kind of getting pounded in the net, you almost find that an entire period, your neck gets a kink in it because you're always looking one way, you know.
It's
like, I'm kind of looking forward to going the other way at some point right, here, right. So I can work this out, right? But you know, getting neck back on your heels, that's a tough thing to come back from. And then if you can turn it around, then all of us... It's such a momentum sport. It really is.
Especially going from period to period, mm-hmm. and knowing that you've got to, you just had this team, you had them. You had a 1-0 lead on them, and you're going into the third period, and you're like, oh, and all of that time and weight on them. We talk about this with defenses and running backs and offensive lines a lot in football. You know, a lot of guys can come out the gate playing pretty strong and running a 4-4 or whatever, you know, butt down the field. How are they in the fourth quarter? And how, and I think you're seeing a much more importance being put into that next season with teams understanding, hey, wait a minute, we really do need a running back.
One thing I've just kind of come to expect right now, and it seems like it's been this for the last couple of years in most games, that the opponent that the Packers are playing will go right down and score. You know, whether most of the time touchdown field, it happened against Detroit again, right? I just kind of like, well, we're going to be down 7 or 3-0 right off the bat, but then we'll kind of tighten things up and things get better. And then lately, the fourth quarter hasn't gone so well.
Let's talk Green Bay for a second here. Before we do, though, just a reminder, River Kings hockey on WIRI this weekend. We've got games back-to-back on Friday and Saturday. The puck drops at 7 on 105.5 WIRI this Friday and Saturday. River Kings hosting the Battle Creek Colonels. I love that name, Battle Creek Colonels. Mike and Seth going to have this one for you on Friday and Saturday. Find out more and support your Kings, the boys of winter, as they build hockey up and down the river at riverkingshockey.com. Looking forward to talking with Coach again real soon. Randy, when it comes to the Green Bay Packers, coming into this season, they were one of the more darling teams, whether it was Jordan Love and MVP talk, or it was, you know, the idea that this team could not only compete for an NFC championship, but possibly get to the Super Bowl. And I don't think that any of that has been lost. I think that momentum has stayed with the Packers throughout this season. And I've taken every chance I can to mention that this is the youngest team in the NFL, mainly because I know I'm mainly speaking to Packer fans. And hoping for some understanding of expectations, while also understanding I'm talking to Packer fans and championship or nothing. We're talking about, you know, the legends of Lambeau in this. That's what matters to Green Bay fans, and I have a lot of respect for that. And I think that's actually pretty darn cool, and I'm very jealous of it, but that's just between you and I, Randy. But one thing that I keep hearing week in and week out with Green Bay when it talks, whether it's nationally or local voices, that would have me a little concerned, just as an outside viewer and everything. I feel like every week, whether it is a win or a loss, whether they win by a lot or they lose close, it's the what ifs. Well, if this or if that. And if this, and if that, and it's just ifs. And you can't win a championship on ifs. You can't even win your division on ifs. You're seeing it right now. That's got to change. That, and I'm not even saying that's on the whether it's the franchise or the players. They got their own business to do. I'm talking more so to the media. that to me is not being honest about your team. You're making, you can call them what ifs, you can call them excuses, you can call it whatever you want, but you're just either biding time to fill your segments, or you're not truly wanting to face this team and be honest about it.
I think, you know, coming into the season, they looked back at last year and they said, what if, right? There's the if. You know, Carlson makes that field goal, maybe we win that game against the 49ers. Then we go to Detroit, who we handled pretty easily on Thanksgiving. And then if we win that and go to the Super Bowl, we beat Kansas City earlier in the year. You know, mm-hmm. So people are like, we were that close to possibly winning a Super Bowl championship. Now you fast forward to this year, right? And now you've got no Aaron Jones, but you got Josh Jacobs, who has done fantastic for us. A couple of injuries here and there. But I think one of the biggest things that concerns Packer fans is the secondary. You know, a lot of injuries there. Will Jair ever get healthy with that, you know, injury? Stokes is definitely not the answer. You watch, and this has been a thing that's been ongoing for years. If I was an offensive coordinator that was trying to defeat the Packers, I'd pass every time over the middle of the field. Yep. That middle of that field is just constantly open. They got that touchdown on fourth down to the Lions, you know, as they had McDuffie trying to cover the running back. I mean, it's like put McDuffie on the line of scrimmage and have some defensive back cover. Mm-hmm. Just seemed to make more sense to me. But yeah, until they get that secondary fixed, there's, in my opinion, it's going to be tough to advance. And who knows? They got some tough games coming up. Seattle's in first place. They play them this week.
Yeah.
New Orleans, I think Derek Carr might be on the shelf for the rest of the year, so that might make it a little bit
easier. Broken hand, or I believe.
But then you go to Minnesota, right? And then if it comes down to that final game against the Bears, and I know the Bears have been struggling. They really struggled yesterday. But remember, the Lions were struggling a couple of years ago, too, and the Packers win that home game against the Lions in their playoffs. Lions just thrashed them that day. And what else would the Bears have to play for except the joy of defeating the Packers and keeping them out of the playoffs? So people are like, well, it's, you know, that's kind of a foregone conclusion that they're in the playoffs. I don't think so. That's just me.
You've got to have some things fall your way if things go that way. But I'm not picking on the Green Bay fan base. All fan bases do this to some way or another. But we do our show here in Wisconsin, so focusing on the Packers.
Right.
And when it comes to putting your hope in what ifs, what do you have? What do you have that you can actually count on? Because you cannot win that way. And to your point, Randy, I think I could make the argument. One of the 10 worst contracts in the NFL is Jair Alexander's contract. Again, one of those deals where why sign him to that deal? I get why you would sign a shutdown corner to that deal. I don't understand why you signed Jair Alexander to that.
And I think it's because he's probably, when he's healthy, one of the top cornerbacks. Problem is when, right? When he's healthy. And he's always, every year.
And I don't know that his mouth backs that up. Because he's always chirping, and it doesn't seem to... I feel like I've got more highlights in my head of Jair Alexander complaining to the refs than I do of him making a pick six or something like that. When it comes to Quay Walker, who is supposed to be your leader in the middle of the field. Now, that's something. Just take that for a second there. Quay Walker is the guy with the green dot. That's... like, I don't know how you wrap your mind around that one. I don't get it. All credit to the young man for trying to mature and trying to grow, and he's still a knucklehead. Yeah. You can't have the leader of your defense as a knucklehead. That doesn't work. They didn't even like the bad boy teams of like the Baltimore when they had Terrell Suggs and Ray Lewis and some of these things. You know, they even understood that. I don't know that you can win with that. But I'll say this. For one, Detroit just seems to be a mash unit. Like, they just keep losing bodies.
My goodness.
Again, going back to what I was saying last week about can you win with that style of play, Sean McVay is showing this a little bit, that maybe you can, because they play a very similar style of football over there, and it's just body after body going down, but they're one of the teams nobody wants to play, too, so maybe you can win a little bit that way. But with the Packers, and the amount of first-round picks... early draft picks, the amount of money that has been put on that defense, for it to be a what-if situation when on paper, in all the prep, they did all the right things for the most part. I think you could make some arguments scouting-wise and who they drafted, but hey, they did the right things as far as using first-round picks on high-talented players. That's a heck of a thing to be where you're right here in the season and it's what-ifs.
Yeah, and I think, did I read this correctly, Stokes... and Josh Myers, the center, they're talking about possibly not being back next year. I think right now they said Josh Myers is 31 or 32 PFF rated as centers in the league. But if they both leave, I think they said the entire draft class from 21 is gone.
Yeah.
So that's disconcerting, too.
When all we talked about my whole life, almost your whole life, Randy, with whether it's Ron Wolf or the Gutekunstes or any of the GMs, it's the smart scouting and the smart drafting that Green Bay does year in and year out. And that's how Green Bay got to this place. They didn't do it for every Reggie White they signed, it was the guys that they brought in that they drafted. That was the big thing that kept them relevant. That was the smart thing that they were able to do as a small franchise. To be able to make it.
To draft and develop, right?
Yeah. If you can't draft and develop, that is a very harsh outlook, especially when you look at the albatross contracts that are on that team with Jordan Love and some of these other things. I hate to say that it's win now with this team. I don't think that's the case. But that window gets a lot shorter every week.
Well, especially with the wide receivers, they're all about the same age, right? So they're just a year or two away from all of a sudden their contracts will be up, that first-year contract, which goes, what, 4 years? And then after that, they'll be hitting the free agent market.
And if you want to feel good about things, just think about just think about your running game. Because, top five MVP candidate.
And we don't even have that USC kid back yet. First he's going to finally be healthy, and then he gets appendicitis. And boy, it sure would be nice to see him come in about week, you know, the last second or third week of this. Just get his feet wet a little bit and show some of that speed. Because, you know, you pound teams, and I've always thought you should do this. Just, you know, save that fast guy for about the late in the third quarter, the fourth quarter, when teams are tired. Boy, they'll hit that hole so much quicker. Oh, that would be fun to see.
I couldn't agree with you more. Yeah. Especially when you have, Detroit had the tandem they even have now.
Yeah.
I understand wanting to use Gibbs in some situations up the middle, but I would be doing that with Gibbs. I mean, you just rest your legs in the first, second quarter. I'll see you in the third. Mm-hmm. I'd be doing that too. And again, if you're looking for positives about Green Bay, they're all over the place. Oh. They're all over the place. There's tons of things to feel good about, especially, again, as you're getting closer and closer. It's only getting colder, and you've got a team that can play on turf, can play on the grass, can play in Lambeau, out of Lambeau, and a lot of teams do not want to see them coming to town. So there's plenty of positives. Absolutely. If you're a Green Bay fan. We'll get to our timeout. We'll come back and wrap up the show. Playmakers brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Welcome back to Playmakers, everybody. Getting into the season around here a little bit. Play a little Mr. Mathis. You got to have Johnny Mathis.
Can't go without it.
I don't know if you can even have Christmas if you don't play certain artists. Johnny Mathis, like that, you got to play them. Randy and James here with you to wrap up the show. We're talking a little Badger basketball in a second, and really just Badgers in a second. But I did want to just real quickly remind our audience of some great concerts going on in just a little bit, like 5-10 minutes away. First off, the Assumption Catholic School grades 4 through 12 have a band concert tonight going on at Assumption High School Auditorium. That's at 6:30 under the direction of Miss Molly Thomas. A shout out to her and those bandmates.
She does a great job.
Yeah, she's awesome. Wonderful. And that's going to be a fun one. Check that out. And Nakusa High School and Alexander Middle School have a choir Christmas concert going on tonight at 6:30 in the Nakusa High School Auditorium. Be sure to support these kids. Check out these great shows. Buy local, support local. That includes the arts, everybody. Also wanted to touch on, again, before we get to Badger basketball real quick, in the Marquette-Wisconsin game, Randy. For those that did not hear, it does look like Tyler Van Dyke, he has entered the transfer portal, so his time at Madison is over. I don't think that there's going to be too many people one way or the other, whether you were a fan or not, too upset about that one. I'm more surprised that he has another year of eligibility. Yeah. That's surprising to me, but maybe it shouldn't be anymore. And this does open things up for the Badgers to bring in one of these high coveted. There is about 10 to 15 quarterbacks in the transfer portal that would all look good in the in crimson, red, and white.
Yeah, they got that one kid coming in from Florida,
and
I believe.
And they got a four or five steer recruit. They got a couple of kids there. So no real loss there, him leaving. I think it's actually a little more interesting to see this. Chase Herbstreit, Kirk Herbstreit's son, who famously went to Ohio State, of course.
Sure.
His son Chase just committed to Michigan.
Ooh.
Right before the holidays, Randy. I believe they'll be sitting on opposite ends of the table.
I don't think they'll even show up anymore.
Yeah, right. But let's keep talking a little Badger sports here a little bit. And Marquette, Wisconsin, that game not going the way Badger fans may have wanted it to, but I think certainly a lot to take that you can take positive from that game.
Badgers up by 2 at half, ended up getting outscored 51-35 in the second half. But Cam Jones, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I saw some of the highlights. I didn't see the game itself, but I saw the highlights, and he was like himself, a highlight reel. 32 points, left-hander, he's just going up, he's falling down, he's banking him in, then he's doing it right-handed.
Yeah.
It's just incredible what he did. Joplin had 13, Chase Ross, Stevie Mitchell with 12. Badgers, of course, Max Klesman had a nice game. He poured in 22, got a little bit hot from beyond the arc. That was good to see. Blackwell was 17. Tanji, 14, a little bit below what he's been averaging on the year, but tomorrow night, back in action. With the Illini, I think, what do we got at that game? Like 7 o'clock?
Yep, 7 o'clock.
Right on WFHR as well for that one. And Then on Saturday, they're at Dayton for Marquette. So those are the next two games for the Badgers and for Marquette.
Yeah, for one, I think that just enjoying Wisconsin basketball, we've got some exciting teams to look forward to, whether it's high school or college. It's going to be a fun winter for basketball.
You know, and I'm over here yawning because Giannis only got 34 last night. Yes. Isn't that how the national media looks at him? Oh, yeah. Scores 34 points. He scored 60. We'll put that on the bottom line as the third highlight of the night. But LeBron had 21. So
there's a few careers we're going to look back on and shake our heads like we didn't cover well enough more than Giannis's.
We should watch that more closely.
And the National should really do that.
Yes.
December 10th is tomorrow is when the NBA Cup brackets kicks off and everything. And Milwaukee will be taking on Orlando. That should be fun. That'll be cool to see.
Yeah, they rallied against Brooklyn last night to win by 5.
It looks like Bill Belichick is going to North Carolina, possibly. It looks like that deal is all but done. From what I'm hearing, North Carolina isn't even looking at anybody else. It's just Belichick.
Is that shocking?
Wild. Just wild.
Yeah.
It's interesting, and at the same time, I want to know so badly. I've never actually cared about this. Maybe the first time in my life, I want to know all the in-between-the-lines writing on that contract. How did you get that to happen? And a shout-out to the North Carolina AD. I guess there's some connections there with Bill and some of his family and some of the people in North Carolina, but it's a stretch. That's interesting.
And you think Juan Soto got paid?
right. Wait till you see that contract. Randy, thank you so much for hanging out with us. A reminder, you can hear Randy again tomorrow at WIRI 105.5 at 7:05. Assumption Girls hosting Auburndale. Randy and Don on the call. You know it's going to sound good. On Wednesday, we've got a Wisconsin Hockey Hour for Playmakers here. We'll lead you into that with Playmakers from 5 to 6. No show on Friday, though, everybody. We'll be out of the way so that the Wisconsin men's hockey team can take on Michigan. 4:30 start time for that one. Randy, have a great week.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Hey, you guys have a great night. We'll talk to you sooner than later.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.